Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Don't want to seem like I'm being ungrateful. I just said, why me?
What three wrestling matches would you watch if you were stranded on a desert island? This is what I'm asking wrestling's best. In the ring, around the ring, behind the scenes, or behind a microphone. I'm Tom Campbell. Thank you for joining me on Cultaholic Island for another episode of Desert Island Graps.
Off the top, incredible... Huge long ball off the top. Referee out the way. Here we go. And a stunner again. Here we go. One, two for history. This is
the winner of this match. A new Progress Wrestling Women's Champion, Kanji.
Where were you? Where were you in your life when you saw two incredible performers redefine sacrifice, redefine effort, and push themselves and an entire industry to say, I am number one? Giselle Shaw worked herself to the bone, but tonight the history books smile on one person, and it's someone who so deserves it. History! Let me introduce you to Kanji, the Progress Women's World Champion!
Kanji, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Happy birthday for yesterday at time of recording.
Thank you.
Did you have a lovely birthday?
I did, thank you. It was awesome because last birthday was all in like proper lockdown. So this one with the restrictions easing up a bit, we could do a little bit more. So it was dead nice, yeah.
Where did you go for your birthday? Were you out and about?
I had a picnic in the afternoon.
Beautiful.
Which was nice because the weather was good. And then in the evening, I went to Annie's Burger Shack.
Oh, in Nottingham?
Yes.
That is, I've passed through it once. I know of it.
Yeah.
I know of its legacy.
Yeah, it's so good because like now they do every burger as a full meat version or a vegan version or a vegetarian version.
That wasn't there when I saw it last, so that's good that they do that now.
It's so good.
Amazing. And was that the first time you've been since lockdown was lifted?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's something about that first time out after 18 months of the world on fire. Like, everything tastes a little bit sweeter, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. So good.
Amazing. So I'm glad you had a lovely birthday. Here's to no other ones trapped inside, because that... was a bunch of nonsense. We are here to not to talk about Annie's Burger Shack. We're here to talk about professional wrestling with of course the Progress Women's Champion Kanji. Does that get boring now? Are you bored of that now?
No, never. I can listen to that all the time. Just open every interview with that.
So with the Progress Women's Champion Kanji, we are going to choose three wrestling matches that she'll watch whilst trapped on a desert island, metaphorically, of course. What would you like your first match to be, Kanji?
I would go for Mania 21, Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle.
Shawn Michaels, my issue with you does go well beyond the Royal Rumble. It goes all the way back to 1996. I won a gold medal. And people are talking to me about some guy named Shawn Michaels gliding down from the rafters that year and putting on a wrestling clinic. And that ate me up, Shawn. Because truth be told, you are one of the best of all time. But to even suggest that you're the greatest wrestler of this generation is an insult to me and everything I stand for.
He is the most decorated athlete in WWE history.
I'm an Olympic gold medalist.
Kurt Angle is a former European champion, tag team champion, intercontinental champion, WCW champion, a king of the ring, and a four-time WWE champion.
I beat five of the greatest superstars in WWE history in a six-man Hell in a Cell. I, Kurt Angle, am the greatest athlete ever in the history of the WWE.
Kurt Angle, the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, is a doormat for absolutely nobody. Despite all the accolades, you have never had the chance to go to the biggest stage of them all against Mr. WrestleMania.
I will give you a show like you have never, ever seen before. Why? Because I can.
I am simply the very best sports entertainer in the world.
Nobody has ever, ever outperformed Shawn Michaels in a big man situation.
Shawn Michaels, this is what you can expect at WrestleMania.
Is a doormat for absolutely nobody.
At WrestleMania, HBK and Kurt Angle, first time ever.
I know that Shawn Michaels was your favourite growing up, wasn't he?
Oh, yes.
Why Shawn Michaels?
I don't know. I was just so drawn to him. Even when he was a heel, I was so drawn to him. I think with all the comedy stuff he used to do as well, made me really attracted to him straight away. But then now I'm older and I look back at his stuff and I remember how I felt watching him. I genuinely feel like it's his charisma that caught me. And then when you go back and watch his matches now, with the knowledge I have of wrestling, I realise how much of an fantastic wrestler he really is as well.
Like it's all in the little things, isn't it, that Shawn Michaels does, the little flicks and the stuff. Is there something in particular that Shawn does better than anybody else?
I think it's the ability to be a whole character as well as be this serious wrestler at the same time. I think it's because with a lot of people, it's either one or the other. But with Shawn Michaels, he's able to do everything you'd ever want in a character. And he's also able to do everything you'd ever want in a wrestler, just a standalone wrestler. So for him to be able to step out of each of those zones, but stay in the same one at the same time, it's crazy.
Like that's for a guy, brilliant. A guy who's had as many amazing matches as Shawn, why have you picked this one?
Because to be fair, actually, WrestleMania 21 was my first Mania I was allowed to watch live.
Ooh, stayed up late.
So that Mania is a big memory for me.
So when take me back there then. So you finally got clearance to stay up late to watch WrestleMania. Who were you staying up late to watch it with?
I was with my dad, my granddad, and my brother, but he fell asleep.
There's always one that falls asleep. There's always one, isn't there, that does. So how old would you have been at that point then?
It's
going to be 05, 06?
2005, yeah. I'm 27 now, as of today. So how old would I be?
Oh, hang on. Maths. I'm getting a blue screen error. You'd have been young.
I would have been young.
Just old enough to stay up to watch the wrestling. Yeah. But your whole family are wrestling fans at this point then?
My dad was, and my granddad. My cousins, a few of my cousins, but not my mum or anything, no, just my cousins and my dad and my granddad. So we all had this big interest in wrestling that we all just wanted to watch it together and everything, yeah.
Is there a moment from that match, from Angle and Michaels, that even when you talk about it, you can sort of replay in your head?
Yeah, so it was the end of the match for me, when Kurt Angle has the ankle lock on and Shawn Michaels is like dying to get to the ropes. And everyone knows how iconic the ankle lock is and how powerful it was. So it's like, as soon as it was hooked in, you're there shouting, "Don't tap," but you kind of know, like, oh no, he's got him. Almost like when a snake is wrapped around its prey, you know, it's like that, it's done. But I remember because I loved Shawn Michaels so much. It's crazy. I remember sitting on the sofa holding my dad's hand and I was like almost in tears because I desperately didn't want him to tap. I remember the feeling in my heart. I just didn't want him to tap.
Angle's right behind the legs. And look at that hideous position of Angle's ankle, or of Shawn Michaels' ankle. It's in a sick position. It could break at any moment.
I mean, that is anything short of a miracle here. What can he do?
Michaels, the pain has got to be riveting, scintillating pain. Michaels can't get to the ropes. What can he do? Michaels' ankle could snap at any moment. Michaels refusing to give up. Refusing to die here.
He will not. He is Mr. WrestleMania.
Michael's doing all he can to counter. But how do you counter?
Oh, no. The fans. No.
Tom, I thought he was going to tap, but he didn't. And he's once more the will to win. Michael's trying everything he's got, everything he has.
How long has this ankle lock been locked in? How much can he stand?
Here is your winner, Kurt Angle!
Unbelievable! Wow.
At the end, when he finally tapped, I was stood up in the living room and I was just frozen staring at the TV. I was broken, but the appreciation that he held on for that long, for us as an audience.
For us and you as a fan. Did that for?
I was stood in that room, stood still after he tapped, and I was thinking, he did that for me.
Oh, yes, he did.
For me.
But yeah, that finish is amazing because it was at that point, if my memory serves, because Kurt Angle had the ankle lock and it was always very, very effective. But then a few years into getting it, he said, I need to up the ante. I need to double down somehow. So he started grapevining it as well. And normally a wrestler could get out of the ankle lock when it was standard ankle lock. Yeah. The moment he grapevined it, yeah, you were done.
It's done. It's over.
So Shawn Michaels got in the grapevine. And that was, and I guess that's where you're squeezing your dad's hand going, no, yeah, no one gets out of this version. But maybe today. It was quite literally heartbreaking.
It was.
Am I thinking that obviously your brother was a fan and he fell asleep? Your sister was a fan as well.
Yes. Yeah. So we all, like me, my brother, my sister, and quite a few of my other cousins, we all grew up watching it all together, collecting the figures and play wrestling behind my granddad's back. We all used to do it together. But I think as we've got older, we've all like parted and they've like stopped watching it and everything. But they're really interested in what I do anyway.
When you were play wrestling, right, what's the most expensive household item that you've broken whilst play wrestling?
We actually, I don't think we ever broke anything.
Oh, well done.
There was a time where I was wrestling at home with my brother and it got a bit too aggressive, so that one of us got a little bit hurt. So it kind of turned into like, oh no, this is serious. And I remember he grabbed a handful of, do you know those Hot Wheel metal cars?
Yeah, like the die-cast models, yeah.
He grabbed a handful of them and threw them at me. And I moved and it hit our TV. So that was nearly a goner, but it didn't break it.
I wonder, that famous moment in a future Kanji match, which ends with Hot Wheel cars to the face.
We'll just redo it.
Yes! You can have that for free!
Yeah.
When Kanji was play wrestling, who are you play wrestling as?
I was always Shawn Michaels.
I knew you were going to say Shawn Michaels.
Honestly.
I don't want to say boring, but boring. No.
No, we did the music and everything. When we had trampoline on the garden, we used to set the music on the computer and open the window really like wide open. And we used to do the whole entrance and everything.
So you've mastered the Shawn Michaels entrance then?
Like, yeah, all the time. Every single time. Imagine a young Kanji coming out to sexy boy. Gender wasn't a thing when I was younger, clearly.
Gender's not a problem when you're sexy boy Kanji. I'm excited for a Halloween episode of Progress where we do costumes. That's gonna be a thing. But so you knew really young that you were wanted to wrestle. If you were doing it like in a play capacity, was there ever the idea, like, you know, let's go, you know, cast your mind back to being sexy boy Kanji walking into the garden towards the trampoline with all the neighbours wondering what's going on? Was there ever a thought that this would be you'd be where you're at now? Was there ever a thought?
Oh, I don't know. I think it was always a dream. It was always a dream. Whenever anyone asked me what I want to be when I'm older, I always said professional wrestler. Always. But when I was that young, I used to always say, I want to be a professional wrestler, but like the boys. Because from what I saw growing up, I just saw the girls were very sexualized, and watching female wrestlers wrestle in the matches, some of the matches they were doing with my granddad at such a young age, I kind of felt like, oh, do you know when like you sit with your parents watching a film and a sex scene comes on? It's like, well, you know, I'm not looking. It was kind of that. So I had that feeling all the time, thinking, I don't want my granddad to see me in some like bra and pants, you know? So I used to always back it up with, but like one of the boys, because I wanted to wrestle.
As much as you love Shawn, like I say, you love Shawn Michaels, and we've talked about like your passion for wrestling as a whole, but seeing how the women were represented, and I know you said like, I want to wrestle like the boys, but were you ever off put when you did watch that? When you watched that, did you ever think, is this what I'll end up doing? Or did you always feel like, I want to surpass this?
No, I never saw it as something that I'd have to do.
Mm.
Like that was, if I get there, I'm a female, so that's what I'm going to have to do. I never saw that. And I think maybe it's because I was so young and my brain didn't have the capacity to think like that. Maybe, you know, because I think when you're so young, your mind isn't mature enough to, I don't know, think of situations like that. I just knew what I wanted and what I wanted to do, so I just dreamt that's it, that's what I wanted to do, and that's where I saw myself, and that's what I saw myself doing. But yeah, I don't think I actually ever believed that it could come true. Maybe, I don't know. It was always, I want to be a wrestler when I'm older.
because you did acting and drama at college and university. Was this sort of partly to do with the wrestling dream, or was this you sort of finding an outlet that was like sort of the pageantry of wrestling that wasn't quite the wrestling?
Yeah, I think so, because I've always been so into theatre, performance and things like that. I've always been into it. And obviously that comes hand in hand with wrestling as well, with the performance side of it. But sports side, I've always been so sporty. I've always played football since growing up. And I've always looked at, because we did taekwondo as well, so I was always looking for the sports that were so similar to wrestling. So we did kickboxing and things like that. And looking back now, it's like I was always just trying to find the sports that mirrored wrestling as close as possible, you know? So, but yeah, I do think with the performance side, maybe that's why I was so into wrestling as well, because I was sporty, but I was also really into theatre and performance.
Because it lends itself to the wrestling.
Yeah.
Just doing stuff like drama. But you got into it because, am I right that you really took the university to task when they were going to get rid of drama?
Yeah. That's when I was like, I'm going to be a teacher.
Yeah. Because this could have been a whole different path that you went on,
yeah,
when the uni was getting rid of drama, and you kind of went, no, I'm going to fight against this, and you pushed it to make that change. What's the situation at the uni now? Is drama still on the curriculum?
It's not universities, it's schools.
Ah, apologies.
Yeah, so they're trying to politics of it is they're trying to remove drama and say that it's not necessary for it's not necessary to be in the school curriculum at all, in secondary and primary school, where I 100% believe and I've studied that is wrong.
Mm.
There's so much. I mean, you have drama therapy, which saves people's lives, you know. So it was just something that I saw and I was so passionate about, saying that is wrong. Like, drama is so much more than just reading a script. Do you know what I mean? It's so much more, the skills and life lessons you can learn in having a good drama teacher. It's so important for human beings.
Who was your drama teacher?
It was a lady called Miss Johnson. And she was so kind and compassionate. So kind and compassionate. I loved her.
It's important that people have people like that in their lives going forward. It's just, I won't get too into the weeds on it because, you know, it's not a political agenda. It's not a political show, but it's the idea that people want to get, you know, there's a movement to get rid of drama because they say it's not needed anymore. But then, you know, you have maths that teaches long multiplication. And I'm going to be honest, I've now got, I have something in my pocket that does long multiplication for me. I don't need to know how to do it off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever needed to know like sin, cos and tan and all 17. The only way you'd want to know that is if you were teaching it.
Yeah.
which is a weird snake that eats itself. Mm-hmm. But with theatre, most definitely there's certainly a push for that. Do you think that had the wrestling thing not worked out, you'd have gone into maybe teaching drama, or would you have maybe done more acting and television work perhaps?
Yeah, I think I would have definitely been more active in trying to get acting jobs. But I definitely think, I 100% think that everything you do is a path that the universe has given to you. So I feel like when I noticed that they're trying to remove drama out of the curriculum, I felt like that was a sign for me to know and to notice. So I do feel like I was made to go into teaching, you know? So because I did that and I'm doing it now, I feel like whether wrestling was here or not, I think I still would have done this as well as gone into trying to be active in the world of theatre.
But regardless of all of that, it did lead you to wrestling. It led you to House of Pain in Nottingham. What was your first day of training with House of Pain? Because it's that first day, it goes two ways. Either this is too much and I can't take this, this isn't what I thought it was. Or you suddenly realise, oh, wow, this is quite... I get this, and now I like it's like being a magician. Now I want to know how to do the tricks.
Yeah.
How was your first day at House of Pain?
It was amazing. It was quite surreal for me to actually be so close, just so close to a wrestling ring, just a full size wrestling ring that I was so close to it. It was surreal. So for me to get into that ring and just jump or walk around in it, it was like, oh my god, I'm gonna make it, like this is my moment now, you know, that it was like that. But as soon as we started rolling and practicing bumps on it on a crash mat, it was so good. And when I took my first bump off the crash mat, he only took one, I had a headache for about 5 days after. About 5 days. But I couldn't wait to get back to it still.
There's such an unwavering optimism about you. The fact that you go, I had a headache for 5 days. But we laugh now. It was great. It's brilliant. Get me back there immediately. In those first days, I mean, I think I know the answer to this already, but was there ever like the slightest bit of doubt that this wasn't the right... You're full steam ahead at this point, aren't you? Once you're through the door.
That's it. As soon as I got in there and I saw the ring, I honestly, inside, I felt, this is it. Like, this is happening. So I was like, yeah, I was so determined to proper know everything and get to be the wrestler I really want to be. And at that time, I was like such a big fan of Becky Lynch as well. So I was like, I know what I want to do. I know what I want to look like in the ring. Style wise and everything, it just kind of all formed together.
Because at that point, as you were reaching House of Pain and getting into that, the women's wrestling world had changed so dramatically. Yeah. From, you know, you no longer needed to sort of paraphrase or append with like the men do. Yeah. Like, you now were like, because now it was, the women's wrestling was on that even keel that it should have always been. Yeah. And suddenly it seems like everything's possible.
Yes, that's it. That's actually crazy when you compare to what we just spoke about, because before I was just saying how, yeah, I wanted to be like one of the boys, but then I've just skipped ahead to now saying I was looking at Becky Lynch and I was loving Becky Lynch. So now, yeah, it is like now I have that, those women that I really look up to and think, gosh, these are strong women who are winning in such a male-dominated sport. And I'm looking up to them and thinking, oh, I want to be where they are. I want to be them.
We're going to talk more about that rise to get there in a moment. But we've got to pick your second match, Kanji. What would you like your second one to be? Shawn Michaels, Kurt Angle from Mania 21. What's match number two, Kanji?
Okay, I'm going to go. I don't know how often people have done this, but I'm going to go for a match from Ridgeway and Harada at Noah.
Nice. Okay, good shout. No, and very few Pro Wrestling Noah matches get picked. So this one in particular, Chris Ridgeway. Am I right in thinking that you did a lot of training with Chris Ridgeway?
Not so much training. I've been to his school once recently. I think Chris Ridgeway, I'd say, is my favourite wrestler on the indies. Actually, I'd say he's my favourite wrestler in the UK.
Wow.
Yeah.
There is an intensity to him, isn't there?
Yeah. Like, I want to be Ridgeway. I find him fantastic.
Can you remember the first time that you saw him in action and what was your thoughts?
Can I remember the first time? I can't remember the first time, but I know when I first came across him, I was like amazed with how hard and real, like legit he actually is and how he looks. I was like, that's actually quite scary. But now when I watch him, I'm just like, he is amazing on so many different levels. And it just comes so naturally and so fluent, the way he moves and everything. It's like, I want to have that. I want to be able to do stuff like that and it come across like that is so natural.
What is it about this particular Ridgeway match, though, that really jumps, that makes you take it on the island with you? What is it about this one?
So they start off with like Tech, and you can tell they're just working, you know, they're literally just feeling each other out and almost playing, because nothing is like, none of it in the beginning is they're going for the win, but you can tell they're trying really hard, you know, to win each one over. And everything just looks so strong, tight. Their footwork is just like perfect. But through the match, Ridgeway works the ankle. And as he goes on, he starts to remove the shoe and the sock and the ankle tape. So it's not only are they building up the whole match level by level, but as he's building it up, he's taking this shoe off, which is changing the whole story and intensifying that whole story of working the ankle. And I just find it so different. And anytime I watch that match, or to be fair, whenever I watch a Ridgeway match anyway, it just makes me want to get in the ring and just wrestle.
He just has that effect on you where you're just like, I desperately need to see him do his thing.
Yeah.
Pro Wrestling Noah is a legendary place, born out of like a big kickoff in Japan, and that style is so aggressive. Are you a staunch follower of Pro Wrestling Noah?
Yeah, I love it. I love it because it is so different. When you watch stuff when you watch the indie stuff here, like the Progress stuff as well, and then you'll go and watch a Noah show, it is so different. To how they structure a match, to how the audience even interact with the match. It's so different. It's amazing.
There's a real special energy to pro wrestling, Noah. Is it on your bucket list? Is it on your list?
Yeah, whether it will happen, I don't know. But I even said to Ridgeway one time, I said, because he's got like a Noah tracksuit. I said, I really like your tracksuit. Did you buy it? He goes, no. How did you get it? He goes, wrestling for Noah. And I says, I want one.
Oh.
I'm putting it out there.
Kanji for Noah. Hashtag Kanji for Noah. I mean, it's what's amazing is when you know, we talk about you is that when you talk about getting into the industry, like you really got into it in 2018. Like that's when it all started.
Yeah.
And you have flown through at an incredible pace. Like, how have you found that? Whereas that, because there's some who you've no doubt worked with who have been on the circuit for years and years and years, and they're still sort of pushing to get some recognition. It feels like you hit the ground and just charged at 100 miles an hour. How are you handling just how fast it's all gone for you? Are you noticing it at all? Because it feels like you're running a career at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, I feel like physical movement wise, it's gone so quick that my mind doesn't keep up with it. So so many people tell me, oh, you're doing so well and you're so good and everything like that. And in my head, I'm thinking, I haven't been doing it for that long. So when you're saying, oh, you're so good, you're like one of the top girls, my mind is like, no. And I don't know if it's like a self-esteem kind of thing or a self-confidence kind of thing, that my mind isn't where everyone is telling me I am at physically, which I think kind of is a good thing. I guess it keeps me humble.
Keeps you humble, yeah.
But no, I do think it's been a very steep rise, which is a bit crazy. I'm trying to keep up with everybody else. But at the same time, just constantly training and learning new stuff and learning from other people around me.
Because, I mean, is there a point that you can recall where you realise? Because, for those who don't know, 2018, you were doing stuff at Southside, at Pro Wrestling Eve. You were Defiant. You were a Defiant champion within 10 minutes. We'll get to Defiant in a minute. WWE, you did a tryout with WWE the following year. You were doing so much stuff, at promotions all up and down the country. In your short period of time, you've even managed to squeeze in a career-threatening injury and come back from it. Like, and this is all being crammed in to such a short burst of time. I don't think people truly appreciate it. But is there a point where you realised in 2018, like, oh, this is suddenly picking up a lot of steam?
I remember doing my first Southside show, which was... me versus Zaya Brookside. And that was just by luck, because I was only going to watch the show. I was only meant to be there to watch. And then the person who Zaya was meant to be wrestling pulled out. I think she was sick. So luckily, as everybody gets told, if you go to a show, always take your gear. And I did. And Ben, the promoter of Southside, asked me if I wanted to wrestle Zaya. So I was like, of course. And that was the first time meeting her as well. And luckily that went really well and he really liked it. So he kept bringing me back. But it was literally from that one show, that's when it all set off. So honestly, I owe Ben at Southside so much for just giving me this chance. But when the Defiant stuff came in, I was like, damn, this is crazy. Like, what is happening? Because Defiant, especially the women's championship at Defiant, was so big. Like, the people that had held that championship were crazy. So for them to give me that, it was mental. But still at the same time, at that point when I won that, I was thinking, this is crazy. Like, how much is happening and how much I'm doing. And the people who I'm sharing locker rooms with is mental. But at the same time, my mind felt so inexperienced compared to the others. So it's still the same, that conflict of physical movement and mental movement, you know?
There's a lot to take in very, very quickly. Defiant is a company that was founded from What Culture Pro Wrestling, and it was going through like this transition period where they were sort of moving away from WCPW and becoming their own element, and they started using more local talent because WCPW had sort of built its history on flying in a lot of people from all over the world to do it, and then they kind of pared back and started using more talent that were born and raised in the UK, particularly in the north of England. So for you to come in at a promotion with such momentum must have felt really special.
I felt a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure, because I think it was the show. Just before I came to Defiant, I just worked Emi Sakura for the first time, and that's kind of what got me on Defiant, that one match. So I mean, I had that under my belt. I had the experience of working someone as great as Emi. But yeah, going into Defiant and meeting girls, the top girls in the UK that I've never met before, sharing a locker room with them and being on the same card as them, like, that was huge. So it was so special and so memorable for me to even write that in my little book that I log my matches on. I was like, oh my God. So Millie McKenzie, B Priestley, I was like, this is mad, I've made it.
So you have a logbook of all your matches?
Yeah.
Where is it? Do you have it nearby?
I do. Let me go and get it.
So this is exciting. Kanji's gone to get her logbook featuring all her matches, which will no doubt be in like a biography one day. Or in a PDF form as part of an audiobook. There it is. Okay, it's a beautiful... Is that a moleskin book? It looks a bit moleskin-esque.
It's like a leather kind of feel.
Okay, so and how long have you had this book, this logbook?
I got it I mean, the first match I've written in is 9th of December 2017. So it would have been around that time.
So what's the first? What was the first match then? So this is actually a good little bit of historical documentation. The first match in the logbook, what was it?
It was my debut show at House of Pain. It happened in St. Anne's in Nottingham on the 9th of December 2017. And it was me with teaming with a girl from this, a wrestler from the school, Hannah James, and Felony against Luna Rocks, Piper Kinney, and Harley Harris.
Oh, now, Dev, do you put any other notes in there, or is it just listing the matches as they happen?
Yeah, it's listing the matches as it happens, and then I put the result and what happened in the result. So, Kanju pins Piper.
There you go. If it was the other way around, it wouldn't have got in the book.
It's not in there.
But that's great that you log it all, and it's like a nice little reminder. Do you ever find that you just go back through sometimes and just sort of breathe in just how far you've come in so quick amount of time?
Yeah, definitely. I always have a good look through, like start from the start and have a look through. Sometimes I like to go back, and if I'm like talking about a specific match, I like to go back and look at that match and see what I was doing around that time, which is always really interesting. So it's like when I used to talk a lot about the Iron Woman match, or when I go back and talk about that, I look what happened between the first Iron Woman match to, or like the first time I worked Charlie Evans to the last time I worked her, and just see how short time space it was, but how much I did in that space.
How much you crammed in between there and then.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's a wonderful little doc. It's a documentation of everything that you've done.
Yeah.
To take it back to Defiant, I always ask people to sort of tell their stories and you know, give them an open forum to vent about stuff and maybe share stories from their lives. And it's only fair that I address an elephant in my personal room, which was one of the more awkward conversations I've had with a wrestler, and it was involving you. And it's all my own fault. It is all my own fault. So you're so busy, I don't even know if you remember it. So I sent you a message before a Defiant show, I think in Sheffield, because I used to do commentary for 3CW, and we'd had you facing Roxy. It'll be in your book on the 7th of July, 2018. And you'd wrestled a belter, and I were told just the night before this show in Sheffield that you were coming back and you were facing Amy Sakura. So I'd sent you a message. I was like, I'm just really delighted to hear that you're on the books. You bloody smashed it last time. Can't wait to see you again. I like, you know, a lot of the times we spend too much time complaining about when things are wrong. I don't think we tell enough people when we appreciate them. So I messaged you, and I ended up being at that Sheffield show, and we were chatting for ages, and it didn't click that it was you. I don't know why I hadn't clicked that it was you, because you were so lovely. You came over and said hello, and we were chatting for, I was like, and then it was about 10 minutes into the conversation, I went, oh God, how did I not know? And honest to God, right? That has, I've been all over the, blessed to have a life which has taken me many different places, many different jobs. My interaction with you that night, Kanji, has lived here. It lived here, like just under my chest. So every time I see you just being brilliant in the wrestling, it just pulsates a little bit. You go, remember that time you embarrassed yourself in front of Kanji? So, and I remember my response to it, you might remember this, you probably don't, was at that show in Stockton? No, it's in Teesside somewhere. And it was the show where you faced Amy Sakura. I bought a bottle of Coke.
Oh, yeah.
You remember it now? Yes! Yes! Live in my awkward with me. It was when they were... It's when they were doing bottles of Coke with people's names on. Share a Coke with whoever. I'd bought a bottle of Coke and written Kanji on it. And I said, hey, I've got that so I don't forget again. And even then, I think I kind of walked away and went, I hope you remember why I've done that. Otherwise, that's weird.
You just bought me a random bottle of Coke.
Just a random weirdo went and bought you a Coke with your name on. Thanks, I'll treasure it. But I don't know whether you even remember any of that.
I do.
Oh, damn it!
I do, because you turned around and you was like, I'm so sorry, I've only just realised who you were. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so weird. This is awesome.
I know. For the rest of my days, as I continue to watch you, on the day that you headline WrestleMania and win both women's championships, I will probably send you a DM and apologise again for it. It'll be something stays in my soul forever. But that was in 2018, and you were just suddenly everywhere, and the Defiant stuff was really kicking off. And within like 10 minutes of being at Defiant, you were the women's champion. You must have been amazed at how fast that even came as well.
Yeah, definitely. I still sometimes sit back and think, should it have happened? You know,
'cause really?
So yeah, it was so soon. And I feel like, I think at that time, with looking at the division at that time, you had women that were so strong. You had Lana Austin, Millie, Bea, who was, everyone loved them. Especially Lana was so over, yet she was the biggest heel there.
And a lot of love for Lana.
Yeah, so she's coming out and she's being such a heel. But everyone, you could feel everyone wanted Lana to win. So I think when I won it, there was a bit of a disappointment because they knew what they wanted.
Did you sense that on the night then, that there was a disappointment in the
end? Not on the night, no. Not until, I think it was a couple of weeks after, I realised that, they don't want me to be their champion. But like now, I feel like if that was to happen now, I'll be like, I don't care. You know, like I've worked so hard, and I'm working hard, I'm fighting hard, and I'm putting on the best matches I ever can. And if you don't like it, then I'm sorry, you know. But back then, I think because I was so new, it kind of just got me down a bit.
I was going to ask how you dealt with that. Like, how did you compartmentalize the fact that there's this company that's got your back and they want you at the top, and you're feeling this fan reaction from people that kind of that don't think you're there yet?
I know. I think because I was so new, it probably made me, I probably noticed it and let it get to me more than I should have. That's not to say that I didn't appreciate the push or the opportunities at all, because I learned so much on those shows. On the Defiant shows, I learned so much. And I worked for the first time people that I never thought I would. So I learned so much and I really appreciated it. And they helped me so much with the opportunity they gave me to put that belt on me. Like, that got my name out so much, and it had people talking, it had people notice me that I never thought would. It's not to take anything away from it, and I wouldn't change it for the world. I honestly would not change it, but I just feel like when looking back, as a fan of wrestling, listening to the audience response, I feel like I would have been in the same position as the audience and wanted Lana to have it. With her being there for so long and her not having that belt at all, and her getting so close to winning it, and then it just be taken off someone who's new. See it written out like that, then it's like, okay, I get it. But at the same time, I think as writers of the show, you can't be bullied around and what you think the audience wants.
Yeah, I get that. What would the plans have been, do you know, had you not had to forfeit the title? Were you privy to that much down the road, or?
I didn't know anything. No, because it was, I think I was meant to feud with Lizzie anyway. I don't know what the plans were for that, but I think Lizzie fitted in so well with Defiant that I think, if anything, because she did so well, I think it would have been no doubt that they would have eventually put the belt on her. If not, that match was we were supposed to have then.
She's somebody that just has this energy about her. Mm-hmm. And I think that, yeah, as you say, she was just a good fit for it, I think. Talk to us about the injury, because it obviously led to you forfeiting the title, and it kind of, you know, by the time you were sort of ready to get going again, kind of Defiant wasn't really there anymore. And like, how did the injury occur, for those who don't know, first of all?
I was wrestling at a Mega Slam show. I was wrestling at a Mega Slam show, and my finish, which is the stunner where I hold people's hands so our fingers intertwine with each other, and I run up the ropes. As soon as I get to the top, I spin around and jump into a stunner. And what had happened is, I think just my finger had just got caught with that hold on the hand, and it's twisted my finger a little too much, and it's broken the bone in my hand. Of my ring finger, it's broken. What do you call it? Is it a metacarpal?
Metatarsal. I'm gonna look it up. Ring finger, metacarpal fracture.
Carpal, yes.
Metacarpal.
Is a metatarsal your toes?
Tarsal might be legs. If you've got a metatarsal in your finger, there's probably a bigger problem afoot. Yeah. But certainly a metacarpal in your hands. So that went, did it? In a move that you've probably done so many 100 times.
Yeah, I still do it today. I still do it now, and it's no problem. It was just obviously a freak accident. But at the time, I didn't know it was broken. I just thought I'd bent my finger back a little bit, and I had to shake it off. So I kept shaking it off, and the pain just wouldn't go. I was like, oh, gosh, go away. And it wouldn't, but the match was over soon after that anyway. But yeah, then as soon as I got backstage, that's when it started really throbbing. And I was like, something's wrong. And I had people trying to pull my fingers out and clip them back in, thinking you've just dislocated it a bit and it's not gone back in properly. So I had people pulling my fingers out of the socket. Oh,
God, and it's broken.
I got a fracture in my hand.
This is why wrestling needs more hired, trained medical people.
Yeah. It was crazy. But I went to the A&E the next day, had an X-ray, and they just said, yeah, it's fractured. You're just going to need just one of those little splints on, you know, what you can take off.
Yeah.
So I had that on, and I couldn't wrestle for 6 weeks, I think it was. 6 to 8 weeks, something like that. But that was my first major accident in wrestling, first major injury.
And looking ahead, I'm trying to think, did you come back to Defiant at that point or after that? Or was Defiant kind of done by the time you were back up and running? I'm trying to remember now. I'm going to have to check your cage match. Check your book! Check the book!
It's right here.
Kanji checks the book. It's a new feature on Desert Island Grabs. Kanji checks the book. Who needs... I was going to look... I could easily look it up on Cage Match, but Kanji's got her book. It's surely easier to check the book. Yeah. Nearly forgot about the book then. Tom, put some hold music in here whilst Kanji's checking the book.
No, I didn't. After that, it wasn't long after that when I had the NXT tryout.
Talk to us about that then, because everyone's got a unique experience when it comes from that. But what was the vibe you got from your tryout with NXT?
I loved it. Yeah. Because it was an all-women's tryout as well. So I was with so many other women that I've met and wrestled before or been in a locker room with. So it was almost like a really supportive community we created at this tryout. And we all just wanted to push each other and big each other up. So I was so comfortable. I was so happy. I was nervous at the start a little bit, but I think just seeing all the other girls around you nervous as well and putting so much pressure on themselves, it makes you take a step back and want to comfort them. So then you kind of take that pressure off yourself and just think, just make everyone feel good because then everyone will do well. So it was just, I was so happy. And I just got there and I was like, I'm just going to have a good time. I'm just going to learn as much as I can. And whatever happens, happens. You know, I didn't put the pressure on. I need to be signed. Like, this is my time.
Because I'd imagine a few would have gone in with that mindset a little bit.
I think so, yeah. I think quite a few did, to be fair, which I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If you feel like your time is now, then go for it, you know. But I was still so new. I hadn't been wrestling for long at all. So for me to even just get the opportunity, like, that was enough. So anything that came after that, I would have been, you know, over the moon. But at that point, I was like, I'm just going to have so much fun and learn as much as I possibly can.
What are some of the big learns that you took away from that tryout?
Ring conditioning and just conditioning in general. Because the amount of press-ups we had to do was dirty. Oh my gosh.
How many?
We didn't even count. They were just saying, go. But it wasn't even just press ups. It was like a drill. So it would be going into like a load of sit ups where we had to go off the trainer telling us when to sit up, when to go down, into loads of feeds. So you wrestling feeds. From lying down to standing up in a fighting stance. And then that went into straight into a load of squats, into loads of press ups there. But it'll be like down, up, down. So you have to hold it in that position and then it's up. And then you do it all over again. And the next day, everyone was like, I can't move my arms. It was hard.
But you'd have to do it all again anyway.
And it shows you, because you'd never do that at home. If you did, then that's amazing. But at home, it's, you haven't got that fear or that pressure that you don't want to look like you can't do this. So you do it and you amaze yourself. Like, I was amazed that I did it. But it was things like that, like the discipline, that made me realize this is serious business. You know, this isn't a hobby. Like, people go and you do your matches every weekend, but this isn't a hobby. This is real life work.
There was obviously a lot of love for you that came from that, because you did end up on NXT UK. But what was when the tryout ended? Did you get feedback, and were you surprised by what they said?
Yeah, I was, because we had like a promo class as well. And I was so nervous with doing promos and that, just because I felt because I was so new, I hadn't thought much or done much character work anyway. So I felt a bit vulnerable, like, oh, you're not seeing me as a character right now, because I haven't delved that much into it. I haven't spent that much time figuring out who I am as a character yet. So I felt really vulnerable in doing that. But they said they kind of just wanted to see our presence and our vocal skills and things like that. So we didn't have to actually do a promo in character. It could be as a talent, cutting a promo, you know. So I learned so much from that. Listening to other people's feedbacks as well was amazing, because people did their promos in front of us. So we listened to Mr. William Regal give feedback to everybody and things like that. And even like little tech work, we was able to do some tech work, and William Regal coming round and teaching us a little tiny movements and things like that, that just make that a good hold, excellent. You know, it really makes you look at the attention to detail, which was awesome.
I have to ask you before we move on from this bit, but when you say, oh, with the promo class, you could play a character, did you do Sexy Boy Kanji or not?
Oh, I didn't.
What? You missed a grand opportunity to give him Sexy Boy Kanji.
I can't. Imagine asking them, you need to play the song.
Play this off YouTube. I'll be right back.
Someone hold my phone, just play it off my phone.
Can you put a trampoline in the middle of the room? Just it puts me at my ease.
Takes me back.
It'd been amazing. So you got some good feedback then. You had like anything in particular that you got?
They were very happy with my ring presence.
Yeah.
Which really surprised me because I remember at uni when I did drama, I was told I need to improve on my stage presence.
Right.
So to get a comment at the wrestling tryout and say my ring presence is really good, that was like, oh my God, this is my calling. I was never meant to be on stage. That's why. But I think when it comes to like ring presence or stage presence, it's not just one thing. You know, there's so much that goes into having good stage presence, ring presence. So that was a huge compliment for me.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Of three.
The fire is insane between these two.
I think Kanji just realized who she's dealing with here. Strength, disrespect, aggression, tick all boxes.
She's got it!
1-0 Kanji! Kanji walks in 1-0. Is this the moment? Kanji etches her name into the history books.
Giselle Shaw has thrown everything but the kitchen sink at Kanji.
Hatch! There we go! And suddenly, Kanji is a long way from home.
Progress. I am yours. And your women's championship will be mine. And I will reign and make you proud.
Giselle Shaw has been around the world playing her craft. The ring is her stage.
Now I'm going to give you everything I have and everything that I am in this match. Because I'm going to make sure that if I die in this ring, I'm going to survive through my name.
When did you get the call to invite you to the reboot of Progress?
It was last year around, I can't remember, maybe August, October time. Maybe just a bit before August, yeah. Because I still wasn't 100% positive about coming back yet from injury. Mm. So I was still like, oh, I'm not sure how well I'm going to do or if I'm ready yet. But I took the calls and I was listening to them and I was talking to them and they were so understanding about everything and so patient with me. But we had dates booked in, but then obviously with lockdown and restriction and everything got changed. So that gave me actually more time to recover, which I was actually really happy about.
So was this your second injury?
No, when I broke my arm in 2019.
Yeah. So this was the other one. This was the fractured hand that took away Defiant. This was the arm as well.
The big one.
That must have been a blow. Like to kind of almost got like a warning shot with your with your finger and kind of come bounce back after 6 weeks and then the arm. Like what were you doing when the arm went?
I did a disaster kick from the top, and I must have just over rotated or I don't know. I've not watched it back. I didn't watch it back, but something happened where I put my hands down to break my fall because I think I was landing too feeling like I was going to land on my head. So I put my hands down and my arm had just snapped. It was just too much pressure on my forearm and it just snapped in half.
When did you know something was wrong? Can you remember?
Straight away because I heard it crack. I heard it crack. And then I remember grabbing at my arm because I felt pins and needles straight away. I remember grabbing at my arm and I felt the bone sticking into my hand. So I knew it had gone. And I remember sitting there thinking, this is a dream. I need to wake up. I genuinely thought it was a dream because on the flight to the show, I nodded off for a few seconds, a few moments on the plane, and I had a brief dream that I was being called into the ring, that my music was playing and I wasn't ready. I didn't have my wrestling shoes on, my knee pads on, and that dream felt so real. So when I broke my arm in the ring, I was like, this is a dream again. I'm in a dream. But it wasn't. It was real.
So with that injury in place, to get the phone call to say we're gonna wait for you, we want you to be part of this. Mm. God, that must have been a weight off.
Yes, it was. I didn't because it was crazy because I didn't believe it at the start. I was like, no, this is a rib. Someone's pulling my leg, or I was like, they just giving me false promises. Because you hear stuff like that all the time. People, promoters promising you like, oh, you're going to have this match, and then things just don't fall into place. So I was like, no. It's okay. So I was like, yeah, okay, thank you. But then when I had extra time to recover and then I got into the venue and seen that progress ring, I was like, okay, here we go. This is it.
And how was that? Because everyone's experience with this is different. Like to wrestle, to go from wrestling and feeding off that live audience to suddenly wrestling in front of Roy Johnson Jr. He's as passionate as a whole room. Don't get me wrong. But how did you find that? Was that bizarre at first? Did you acclimatize quite quickly to it?
Yeah, it was. It was so strange. It felt empty.
Mm.
Wrestling with no audience, it does feel empty. And I've heard from a lot of people it's hard to get into that full wrestling zone that you're competing and you want to win because you have no one to play up to or you don't have an audience chanting you on to figure out the pace of your match that it needs to happen. Because when you're in training and when you're putting a match, when you're talking about matches, you always talk about you're listening to the audience or we'll see what the audience wants. And when you don't have them, it's like, now what? What do we feed off?
You're flying blind.
Yeah, what are we fighting for? or who are we fighting for? So it's so different, but I think I definitely got to a point where I was able to cut it out and just not pretend that there's an audience there, but just adapt. So
and you've adapted to the point where we had Giselle Shaw on last week, and singing your praises, obviously.
Oh, bless you.
And because you guys put Progress on the map in 2021, in this year, with a best of three series that just got the industry talking. And I wanted to chat to you a bit about that. So, like, when did you when was the best of three pitched to you? Can you remember?
Yes. It wasn't long after the Thunder Bastard, because they were putting plans together to bring the number one contenders matches to life. So obviously, with me winning the Thunder Bastard, it gave me a number one contenders match, which at that time Ginny had the belt. So I was so excited because I was like, oh my God, yes, I get to work Ginny again, like bring her to me. So they had all these little ideas of what's going to happen. So I was so excited because they said I'm going to be wrestling Ginny. And then I remember getting a call not long after saying we might not be able to have Ginny because of the current climate. And I was absolutely gutted because I was like, now what? I was like, you've got my hopes up right up here. Wrestling like one of my favorites ever. And then you've just taken it away from me.
Because I was curious as to sort of like why Ginny wasn't there. But obviously you say because obviously with COVID, they're keeping people separated. And despite the fact that she is like in the UK and she's still so embedded with NXT UK, I wasn't sure whether we'd see a crossover there. But you know, what we got instead was the 2 out of 3 compromise between you and Giselle Shaw. And can you remember the conversation where they said, right, we're giving you the belt?
Yeah, I was so shocked because, and to be honest with you, when he said it, I said to them, I was like, can I just say something? Can I just put something across first? And he was like, yeah, sure. And I was like, don't take it as in a way that I'm moaning or questioning anything you've got planned or your creativity or anything like that. I said, I don't want to seem like I'm being ungrateful. I just said, why me? Because I see Giselle as someone who is at the top of the independent scene. When you talk about women's wrestling right now in the UK and international wrestlers, Giselle is a name that is up there. And because she's worked so hard at Progress recently before as well, I was thinking, why me? Why are you putting on me when you've got Giselle right there, you know, who is already in the championship picture? So why me? And I think as well, I was just concerned with having the emotions of how I felt when it happened at Defiant.
I was going to say this sort of draws what you're saying here, draws a lot of comparisons with you and Defiant in 2000 and in 2019, how you didn't feel like you were worthy and how you're almost pushing somebody else in front of you. Is it like an imposter syndrome thing with yourself? Because it's quite common in a lot of people that work in the industry, is especially when there's so many names and so many people doing stuff. Would you say that you suffer imposter syndrome, or that you deal with imposter syndrome, Kanji?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I think it's just
I only say because, like, on the two occasions where you've been given major titles, your response was always, oh, I don't know, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
They're good.
Look at them.
Maybe go with a pie, I'll go with a... And it just, it smacks to me because I get it, because I get it. I deal with it a bit myself. And it's like the whole idea that you almost, when someone says we're going to do this, someone better. It's fine. Yeah. I'm fine. Maybe someone, and do you have to go, oh, no, they clearly want you there. So
yeah.
I have to tell myself that they're not, you know, people don't, like, I don't get offered a job on the radio or in or working for anywhere. They're not offering it me, like, out of sympathy.
Yeah.
Like, the climate is too fraught to offer somebody a job out of sympathy. That's kind of what I tell myself. And it's like with yourself, like, they're not giving you the progress title out of any misplaced sympathy or lack of guidance. It's like, well, we think this is the right person.
Yeah. So. I think it's so easy, though, to convince yourself otherwise rather than have someone... Someone could, like, I mean, Progress could come to me and explain to me over and over again why me and what they think of me and how much they want to do with me and how good they think I can be and what my potential is. But as soon as you put that phone down, it's so easy to convince yourself the complete opposite of everything they've just said. Do you know what I mean? It's...
Yeah.
Like, your mind is your own enemy so many times.
Out of interest, when you said, why me, what did they say?
Honestly, he turned around and says, why not? And I was like, okay. But they kind of just was just saying how much of a character and talent I am, and they think it's so fitting to run with me having it, especially being the one, the champion having it after Ginny. They just felt like that was the most fitting, which obviously is, it's putting no disrespect or anything on any of the other girls, especially Giselle. And I think there was a reason they put me in with Giselle, because she is so fantastic. And I feel, especially watching her recent stuff at Progress as well, I think Giselle has the ability to make anybody look good. Anybody. Because she knows, and she's so full of wisdom with what professional wrestling is and how it should look, that it's not a one-way street. You know, you're working together to put on a fantastic match. You are working together, and you both need to take on that responsibility to make each other look great.
When did you realize the series of matches you were having was taking the world by storm? Because that surely was, that did that come as a surprise in the first place, that you were doing this? And obviously, you know, you the matches were going to be great anyway, but, like, to go from announcing this to the best of three to WWE acknowledging the entire thing, to you guys appearing on the bump. I mean, WWE don't even acknowledge Piper Niven's name, but they acknowledge Kanji versus Giselle Shaw, best of three. Yeah. Like, when did you realize that this was all starting to become something pretty big?
It's crazy because me and Giselle, we were so determined to make this best of three the best ever. Like, we was talking for so long, and we was so serious about this and so passionate about putting on our best work. So we thought, and we worked so hard. And I'm honestly, looking back now, I'm so proud of us. And I tell her all the time, I said, I'm so proud of us. And she says the same. After each match we had, the reception we got from the other talent that watched it was insane. So we had an idea of how well we did, or how well we came across with the feedback we were given. And it wasn't until, for me, it wasn't until we saw the video package of the highlights of the first two. When we saw that, our minds were blown. I was like, wow, this is like WrestleMania feel. So it was then when I realized, like, it's not just us who are taking this seriously now. Progress are literally giving us their all. Like, they really trust us and believe that this is it. So the fact that we got on the bump as well after that was like, okay, yeah, this is it. Like, we've done it. We've smashed this.
Just crossed the multiverse into that world. And what was that promo package itself? It lends itself nicely to about 10, 15 minutes ago, we talked about how the promo classes surprised you and how you feel that, like, your best is in the ring and not so much in delivering promos. But you hit us with the ultimate line at the end of that, where you talk about how, like, if you die in the ring, your name will live on. And it was just a little line, just a little bit, but it really kind of put you over the top, I think, as this is somebody that can go out and perform. But geez, this is somebody with fucking heart as well, like, here we go. And to see it come to life like that and just take the world on was amazing. And you're now the Progress Wrestling Women's Champion. Sexy Boy Kanji is the Progress Women's Champion. It's ace to see. What would you love to do as champion in Progress? Is there, I know there's obviously plans for shows to get back up and running for the crowd soon. And do you have any idea when those will be? Have they given you any indication?
No, I think Progress are quite comfortable in not needing to rush anything. So I think they're just taking it as, we'll see what happens. And when it comes to a time that we can safely do live shows, then we will. But for the time being, we're not putting that pressure on the talent or on the crew. So there's not been much talk to us anyway. But hopefully, I mean, it'll be great to get Progress up and running this year anyway, at the end of this year, hopefully. I mean, that'll be amazing. But
is there stuff that you want to do as the Progress Wrestling Women's Champion? Like, we see a lot of champions across the brands throwing out challenges. Have you got any you want to throw out there?
I'd love to do an open challenge. I'd love to do an open challenge, just stand in the ring and say, give me anybody, like, anyone. Nice. Come, male or female, anybody. I think that would be, yeah, that would be fantastic. But I did say before, I'd love it if Jordynne Grace came back. I would love it. I just think her style and her look, her how do you say it, her
presence,
I'd say presence, her, like, mindset as well, wrestling wise is so different to mine. And I think story wise in the ring, that could be something special.
As a former Progress Women's Champion, she's a force of nature. She's doing amazing stuff at Impact Wrestling, but you never say never, do you? You never say never.
That's it.
Amazing. Well, we've got one more match before we let you go about your day off for your desert island. We nearly forgot about this bit. So we've had Chris Ridgeway tearing people's ankles apart in Noah. We've had Kurt Angle ripping your boy Shawn Michaels' ankle to strips at WrestleMania. What would you like your third match to be? Does it involve an ankle or not? There's a theme here.
So I picked WrestleMania 35, the main event. So Charlotte versus Becky versus Ronda for the championships match. I think it's clear to say that it's not the greatest match in the world. because it's not the greatest match in the world, but I think it's a great match, and it's the first ever women's main event at Mania. And I think that is something that I never, ever want to forget.
To go back to Kanji talking about, again, we mentioned it earlier, about being a wrestler, but one of the boy ones. And to see like how all of a sudden, it built and built to see the women in the main event and in a match that absolutely should have been the main event. Nothing else had that scale of build quite like those three. Where were you when you watched this go down?
I was at home. I'm trying to think if that was the one I...
Would you have been with the family at that point, or would you have been...
No, I watched it. I either watched it on my own, or I watched it with my best friend Josh. Do you know Visage?
Yeah, I do know Visage.
Yeah. I think it was... So that was 2000... Oh, no! You know what this was? Oh, no, it was. Because I remember one time at that Mega Slam show,
yeah.
I broke my hand. I didn't watch the main event before that at all. The show, the pay-per-view before that. And I was like, nobody tell me who won. And then I went the whole day without knowing who won the match. And then it gets to the evening and Visage messages me saying, can't believe Becky won, so deserving.
Oh!
I was like, what did you just do?
Visage!
Yeah.
Livid.
I had my mum messaging him, telling him off and everything.
What an arse. Yeah. Bless him.
Ruined it for me.
So you would have watched it post Mega Slam, would you?
I think that was it. That might have...
Mm.
Let me think. Let me look back at my book when it was.
Oh, yeah. Check the book.
Check the book.
Kanji checks the book. We did a jingle.
Yeah. That would have been the one.
That was it.
8th of April, 2019.
Ah, so that would have been the night. Yeah. So when would you have had time to watch that? Because you had your broken hand at that point as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, so I would have watched it the day after.
What a night.
Yeah, because I had that show that day, so I wouldn't have been able to watch the Mania before, because obviously I wouldn't have been able to stay awake all that time having a show the next day. So yeah, I had to wait, but it was still magical to even just know and have that big setup. Like, the whole world knows this is the first ever time the women are main event in Mania. Like, that was so special. So,
and they went all to town with the entrances. Like, I remember Charlotte Flair coming in on a helicopter.
Yeah, the big entrance with the red carpet.
Joan Jett playing Ronda Rousey to the ring. Yeah. Becky Lynch keeping it dead simple because, yeah, it just with the man written on the big letters. And I like that touch as well.
Just
it was
contrast,
ace.
Yeah.
What was more devastating that night? Breaking your hand or Visage ruining the ending of Mania?
Oh, it would have been the hand, but I was,
yeah.
I was upset. I was like, first my hand, now Visage ruining the Mania for me. I tried so hard as well. I didn't go on social media at all that whole day. I was like, nobody's ruining this for me.
One more question, and then we'll do this. We'll do the plugs and stuff, and we'll let you go. But if you had the chance, to step back in time,
yeah,
we go back. There's young Kanji, there's young Winona, and she is stood in the hallway, and she's about to walk towards the trampoline. She's just about to press play on Shawn Michaels .wav, and you get the chance to tap her on the shoulder and tell her something. What would you tell her, knowing what you know now?
Wow, that is nice. What would I tell her? Oh, I'm going to have to go really personal. Because my dad passed away before I'd started training. Before I'd started training at all, or before I'd even thought about training or found a school in near me. My dad passed away, so he never knew. So I would tell myself to find the school quicker before I did, so he would have been able to see, even just know that I started training, and to maybe come and watch a couple of sessions if he could while he had the time with us. Whenever I watch now, like Charlotte Flair with Ric Flair, I always look at that and think, I feel like that's how my dad would be with me. Like the Ric Flair to Charlotte Flair. I genuinely feel like that would be him. And when Charlotte was at Mania and you saw backstage Ric Flair watching the screen and he just looked so happy with his little suits on and his ear like clapping for her on that little screen. That just fills my heart so much to see that support there from someone who's her biggest fan. And I do feel like that would have been my dad. He would have been wanting to be that manager kind of stance. Yeah.
Maybe not run off with Lacey Evans. That'd be weird.
Maybe not run off with Lacey Evans.
I mean, he might have done. I don't know your dad. He might have done.
Who knows?
Oh, thank you for sharing that. Honestly, that's a really wonderful thing you shared there. And you know what? I think he knows. I think he knows. I think he's blown away by it all. I think he's doing that anyway, but just not chasing Lacey Evans.
That's... Yeah, thank you.
Well, maybe. This has been a wonderful like hour and a bit of your time, and I cannot thank you enough. Like as I said, you know, you've blown everybody away with the speed in which you've grown and you've pushed into the system, and the fact that I got to recant a story about an utter embarrassment that I suffered in front of you, but the fact that I get to do it to you as Progress Women's Champion is flipping brilliant. So I cannot thank you enough for taking time to chat today. This has been ace. Thank you.
No, thank you for having me. It's been a good journey to look back on as well.
And we're barely begun.
I hope.
Jeez. Oh, my day. This is the first 2 years.
I know.
Jeez. You're only 26, God.
27 now.
Oh, that's it. You're done then. You only had 1 year. You missed it. Everybody was shut down in COVID. You missed it. Where can people go to find out all about you, Kanji? Plug away.
I am on Twitter at Kanji Duku. And I'm also on Instagram, Kanji_Duku. So you can catch me on there. That's where I'm most active anyway. So yeah, catch me on there.
And on the WWE Network and on Peacock.
Yeah.
In that America.
There. Worldwide now.
That's it. You're all over the place. I've just realised who I'm talking to. That's fun.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.